Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk about the world of being manly inside of a world that has lost the ability or the desire for masculinity because of, I have no earthly idea. Things just run a lot better if guys are guys and girls are girls, and men do men things and girls do girl things, and you have partners and relationships and y'all support each other, and that's the way that the world is meant to function. I know it's old-timey and, you know, traditional, and we think today that traditions don't mean anything until you get the repercussions of not understanding the traditions, and then you wonder what's going on. You know, like, part of the craziness we have in this world today is college kids are taught in school to deconstruct, which is actually college classes, every single American and Western tradition that there is. So they find some way that's connected to racism or, you know, male hierarchy or something like that. They destroy it in their minds, and then lo and behold, somewhere down the road, society gets all out of whack, and those people that start believing that get all out of whack in their life because they don't understand the power of tradition. In relationships between a man and a woman, or in a free country as America, it can be a relationship between any two consenting human beings, no matter what their sex are. But traditionally, between a man and a woman, guys do certain things and girls do certain things, and it's not one is over the other or one is more important than the other. It's just different roles. It's like, you know, you got a quarterback and then you have a center and you have linemen and receivers and running backs. You can't win a game without any of them. And one is really not more important than the other, because I don't care how good of a quarterback you are, Brady, Breeze, anybody, if your linemen don't block for you, guess what? You ain't gonna win. Same for your fullbacks. If you don't have blockers, you ain't gonna win. If your receivers don't want to catch it, you're not gonna win. It's teamwork. I don't know why it's so old-fashioned for people to understand teamwork or partnership when it comes to relationships. I want to talk about that a little bit. Then we're going to talk about step training. It's a really cool old traditional concept that I think has a lot of value, and I've been doing it, and I'm going to explain to you what it is. And if you're getting into training, so you want to be a stronger individual instead of a weaker individual, you may want to pay attention. Before we get in the show, though, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into trapping, if you're into predator calling, deer hunting, bear hunting, hog hunting, anything like that, he's got products for you. Not only does he have products, he's an honest guy. They have great shipping times. They have good prices. He's all over Amazon and eBay. But you need to check out his website first, because a lot of the fees that Amazon and eBay have, somebody's got to pay for, and it's going to be the customer. The businesses don't eat that. So you might find out that you save 15% by actually going to the website, even though most people want to think that it's cheaper on Amazon. But you can do the research yourself and figure that out. But whoever you're dealing with, you're going to find out that you're not going to find anybody better than Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Relationships, guys. When you have a girlfriend, fiance, a wife, or if you're a woman and you got a boyfriend, I guess he's still called a fiance, don't really know, or a husband, how you go about your day-to-day thinking is going to really make a difference whether it's enjoyable or it's miserable. I've been married for 29 years. I'm really hard-headed. I have a strong personality. I am not afraid of conflict at all. And guess what? My wife has all those same traits. So there's going to be some conflict off and on because we're two separate individuals. But one thing we've learned over all these years is respect each other. Don't try to manipulate each other. and understand whatever we're doing, we need to look at it from the concept of equal partnership. Now, what I want to discuss a little bit, and if you've been married a long time, or you've got a girlfriend for a long time, or a fiance for a long time, and she is one of these that likes to manipulate, and guys, this goes the same thing for males. Either you need to put a stop to allowing that, or you're going to have a miserable life until you finally throw up your hands and walk off. And then you're going to get in the court system, and because you're a male, you're going to find out exactly how fair the court system is to males. This can do with money, it can do with friends, it can do with what's going on around the house, it can be decorating, it can be everything. Everything needs to be looked at through the eyes of an equal partnership. Now, when we think about manipulation, if you break that word down to a point, you're going to come back to the original framework of propaganda that Americans came up with, that we gave to Hitler, that he turned a country of really good people into a country of a lot of monsters. Manipulation, propaganda, it's the same thing. Now, most of the time, when we on a daily basis either get or try to manipulate, we try to emotionally get someone to do what we want to do. Or it can be through force. And if you're a guy that wants to talk loud and hit walls and threaten and all that type of stuff, you are a piece of crap as a person in a relationship. Threatening a weaker person shows how bad of a person you really are. That's the reason you start fights with kids. It's not a fair fight. If a guy's trying to start a physical fight or altercation with his wife, it's about like picking on a retarded kid as far as the physicality of what's going to happen. You know that. You know there's no risk. You're being a piece of crap. So I'm going to stay away from that, because hopefully most people listening to this show are not in that boat. And if you are, you need to get out of that. If you're a woman with a guy that treats you that way, you need to go live with your parents. You need to figure out something. You need to get away from that, because it's going to keep escalating. I grew up with that. That's the reason I can say that with certainty. But everyday manipulation, it has to be... Okay, we put it this way. We used to have a dog that I had for 14 years and went everywhere with me when I was out in the woods. It didn't take me very long, because the dog was, for a dog, was pretty intelligent. She figured out really quick what I wanted her to do, and she would test the boundaries on what she wanted to do. And if I thought it was cute or funny or whatever, and I let her go and do that, lo and behold, she got more brazen with that activity. Now, we have 3 cats now. It's amazing, even with an animal with a brain the size of a thumb, I guess, that once they realize that you don't want them to do something, they will test that out. And if you let them get away with it, now you're pretty much screwed, because they will always try to do it. I grew up with horses. It was the same thing. People aren't really that different. So if you're coming into a relationship, you have a better shot of not letting this habit grow. If you're in a relationship where it is grown, it's going to be a lot harder fight to get out of it. But that's up to you. You know, I mean, I've met a lot of just men that have been beat down by their women where it's pitiful. They can't do anything without asking permission. The wife thinks that they are owed you asking them permission to do something. See, me and my marriage, what I've learned very quickly is, Cindy don't ask me to do anything. We may talk about it, but she's going to do what she's going to do. And I respect that, because I'm not going to ask her permission to do it either. I may talk to her about it, but I'm not asking her permission one way or the other. And sometimes you have things that affect both of you in a marriage, and y'all need to have a long talk and understanding of each side's needs and not being selfish when it comes to that. But what I see a lot of with guys that allow manipulation into their marriage from the wife, the guy either gets so frustrated that he leaves, or he's just miserable and eventually gives up and basically cuts off his own balls and hands it to his wife and just says, "Yes, master." What a miserable life. Now, I will dare to say that most women, once it gets to that point, they're not going to be very attracted to the extremely weak, spineless beta male that they're now with. Because when you really think about it, and you look at a lot of studies about men and women, women are drawn to masculine, confident guys that, you know, don't walk around with weakness stink all over them. That's kind of what they like. But if the guy gets so beat down because the woman's always wanting her way, eventually you're going to be that weak, spineless beta male that she is not going to be attracted to. And lo and behold, you find out she's having a relationship somewhere else. Relationships sometimes need a little bit of someone to be a little bit fierce inside that relationship. There needs to be conflict. So everybody knows what the boundaries are and goes about it. If you're a yes man all the time, you're either going to be a miserable person for the rest of your life because you realize you're a yes man, or you're just going to eventually leave, which is what happens a lot of times when guys get older and eventually they just get sick and tired of it and they walk off and the woman goes, "I have no idea why he just left me. What a piece of crap." No, he left you because you were overbearing and manipulative all the time, and he finally got sick and tired of it and he left. And he was willing to pay whatever the courts made him pay to get away from your butt. That's really the truth a lot of times. And a lot of times it's the same for women that leave guys. But manipulation normally has a little bit of grain of truth, just like most good lies do. But it's based off of hitting an emotional chord to get sympathy, or to make someone else feel bad about what they're wanting to do, or they're going to guilt trip them into doing or not doing something. And when it's happening to you, you know it. You know it down deep you're being manipulated. See, I've been around women before that if anybody stands up to them, they start crying because it makes guys uncomfortable. That is their manipulation to get their way. Now, if you're in a relationship where that happens, you just need to go, "Okay, I'm sorry you're sad about it. I feel like you're trying to manipulate me by doing this. When you get your emotions under control and we can talk like two rational adult human beings, you come back to me and we will talk. Until that point, this conversation is over," and walk away. Now, see, that's completely opposite of when a woman wants to cry to be manipulative, and you rush to be the white knight of the situation, you're going to give her her way. Now, just like a cat or a dog or a horse, when you let that horse run back to the barn, it's always going to run back to the barn because it wants to go back and get the grain. When a person, whether a guy or a girl, learns that the other person is very uncomfortable when they cry, and they use that as a weapon, and it continues on, it becomes a habit. And women can cry at the drop of a hat. especially once they learn this skill. There's usually brought up about whataboutism. We hear that in politics all the time. What about when you did this? No matter which side's saying it, and you try to bring up a worse grievance of whatever's going on. That is manipulation. That's not something that rational, logical partners that are of equal value would ever do or allow to happen inside of that relationship. I've heard so many women brag about withholding sex from a male till they get their way. Me and my wife, when we travel, I don't listen to the same podcast because it's not interesting to her. And after a while, she can tell that I get really bored listening to music all day long. So we find different things. And one of the things when we're on the road we like to listen to is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. When I was younger, I hated that woman because it was making me think about a lot of things in a way that did not put me in the best light. It made me uncomfortable. I didn't want to listen to it. As I've gotten older and as I've matured a little bit and as I try to have a better relationship with my wife, so we're equal partners all the time, one's not over the other, Laura Schlesinger has got a tremendous amount of lifetime experiences of dealing with men and women that she can bring out on the radio show that will amaze someone of the way that she can do it. And she's got to do it in a way because she's on a regular, she's not in an open forum podcast, she's on a radio show, so she's got 5 or 10 minutes to say whatever she's going to say. With the other person always trying pretty much to manipulate their words to get her to agree with her, and it never works. So if you're not sure about manipulation, start listening to Dr. Laura Schlesinger, whatever her name is, Dr. Laura. And she brings out every time someone's trying to manipulate, and trust me, you will learn pretty quick when you start listening to that what manipulation is if you're not quite sure. And a lot of times, what she actually pulls out of the conversation is the man and the woman are having troubles. The woman decides she's going to withhold sex. Males are sexual creatures to the max. The guy suffers. The guy does what he has to do to relieve himself. And eventually, he finds somebody else that seems pretty nice and is willing to offer that service, and he takes him up on it. Now, most women would go, that cheating bastard. No, you ask him, basically, and drove him to that point. Don't bitch about it. That's pretty much what Dr. Laura says. And you can hear in their voice when they realize they are the reason that their husband left them, because they were manipulating them with sex. By the way, if you've never listened to this, we talk about adult things on here. So be careful with small kids. Bringing up the past all the time. One that I hear a lot of people do with manipulation is it's they use words that's always 100%. When I hear that, I can tell you that I will put a stop to that in a heartbeat. You always, always, I've never not done anything different except always. 100% of the time, you, 100%. That is a form of manipulation because it makes you think that you're doing something, or what they're trying to do is cower you in a corner where you're always doing something. Like you never do the dishes. I never do the dishes. You never take out the trash. Never. I've never once taken out the trash. Well, yeah, but see, that's manipulation. If you're finding yourself in these situations, I feel for you. But it's up to you, not the manipulator, it's up to the manipulated to put a stop to it. If it's physical, leave. If it's really bad manipulation all the time and controlling, you're better off leaving. You only get one life, don't waste it with a jerk. If it's minor manipulation, most of the time it can be handled pretty reasonably by bringing up the manipulation. Now, if you've never done that before, I promise you two things are going to happen. One, the tears are going to flow and you're going to have to stand your ground. Or rage is going to come out. Because nobody likes being called to the mat about being a manipulator. Nobody. When you want to have a rational conversation as an adult and equal partners, we will come back to this subject. Until that point, this conversation is over. What is someone going to say? If it's brought up again and manipulation happens, repeat. Because a lot of times what's trying to be manipulated is very simple, nonsensical, doesn't matter in 3 days type stuff. But manipulation grows like a cancer. Like I said, I grew up with this. I saw it firsthand. From the beginning till it bloomed out to complete dark ugliness. That's one of the reasons I'm so sensitive of it. So, if you're being manipulated, it is up to you to figure out a way, in a non-threatening, non-forceful way, to just go, no. We'll talk about it later. When we can talk about it as adults. Like I said, tears or rage is about to come your way. You got to stand your ground. But eventually, if the topic is worth talking about, it will be brought up again. And you can deal with it then as a rational human adult. Don't be manipulated. And for goodness sake, don't be a manipulator. If you do, your relationship is going to be destroyed. It's very serious in a relationship. That's the reason most people in America don't make it more than a couple of years when they're married. You got very selfish people that only think about self. There's no concept of self-sacrifice because it's all about the me generation. It's all about what is it in it for me? And they find ways to manipulate to get their way. Bad for relationship. Now I want to talk about something that's a little more fun to me and hopefully to you to get straight. Now, we just had some friends over. And this is a good, I want you to think about this because this is a realistic thing. They were much older than we are. And over the course of the evening, we had dinner, and pretty much all of them went to the restroom once or twice. Somebody got in our bathroom and about tore the toilet paper holder off the wall. Now, I'm not really upset about that. I can fix it. But I guarantee you, when they were doing what they were doing, which I'm going to tell you what I think they were doing, I'm sure they were embarrassed by it. They didn't say anything, but I'm pretty sure they embarrassed about it. In our guest bedroom, the toilet is kind of like in a little cubby. There is nothing that you can grab a hold of the way this toilet is set up. Being older, I guarantee you, somebody had to, because they were so weak, try to use a toilet bowl holder that's only held in by two little screws in the sheetrock as a handle to get off the toilet. Because they physically could not get off the toilet. Because I guarantee you, they're used to in their bathroom having rails, or they can grab the sink, or they can grab something and pull themselves up with their arms and their legs. And they found themselves in a situation where they could not do that, and it broke the toilet bowl or the toilet paper holder. Now, I'm not going to bring it up to them. I'm just going to fix it. That's because they were physically frail. And we've been talking about this because I think it's super important. Weak things break. Weak things cause you to be in situations where you break toilet paper holders. That's a choice. Now, we've been talking about getting stronger, training, which I need to talk about training, the difference between training and exercise. Because I think if you're getting older, you need to train to be better off as you get older. Not exercise, you need to train. Two different things. But there's this, everybody's got different ways that they, quote, train. Most people exercise. And what I mean by this is I get to see a lot of people in the gym, young to old. And I've seen some of those people in the gym now for a year. Most people lift the same weight with the least amount of energy to go through the motion that they've been doing a year ago. They're not getting stronger. I'm not quite sure exactly what it is they're doing, but they're not training for anything. I guess it's just something to do. But unless you want to be the person that's embarrassed because you rip a toilet paper holder off the wall because you don't have the strength, you need to train. And one of the there's all kind of different ways that people train. You have Western periodization, which is basically what most of us were taught, which I think is pretty much junk, where you start with 10 reps and then you go add a little weight and you go to 8 reps and add a little weight and you go to 6 and you go to 5 and you go to 4. And then eventually you try to add a little bit more weight and you keep doing this. It's like a pyramid type thing. It's not very effective. It's not how your body works. There's very complicated systems like Westside Barbell uses, which is a conjugate system, which is probably the best system for strength. You have more simplistic systems like Starting Strength, which you can, he's got a great book on Amazon that you can get. Starting Strength is like in volume 4 or 5, where you go to the gym, you start out with whatever your max is, and every workout you try to add 5 pounds. And this will work for about 6 to 8 months. And then you got to switch over to basically what is called Texas 5x5, which is 5 sets of 5. And you're still going pretty much heavy, but you can't add weight every single time you go to the gym, or you'd be bench pressing 1,000 pounds in a couple of years. Not the way the body works. But for a beginner, Starting Strength, at least the beginning of that program, I think is rock solid. So if you're getting into weightlifting, I would order the book on Amazon, Starting Strength, and I would follow that program. Because it's a very amazing strength building program for someone that's just getting in there. You'll probably add 100 to 150, 200 pounds to your deadlift and squat, which that's the two of the most best exercises a human being can do. And you'll probably add, 30-40% onto your bench in about 6 to 8 months. So it's an amazing program. Well, I'm past the novice stage now, and I've been playing around with the Western periodization, and it just doesn't seem to work very well. I've tried complete bodybuilding systems. I've tried complete powerlifting systems. I've played around with different things now in years past. And then I read a thing called step training. It's a technique. It's not a book. And there's a lot of different phrases for this, but step training is pretty simple, guys. You build up to a weight, and then you work with that weight for a month or two. And the basic reason for this is you own that weight. When you consistently try to go up in weight, there's some things that happen. Your muscles can be stronger than your tendons, which is a lot of the injuries that people get. When you stick with a weight, your body adapts to that weight. And when your body adapts to that weight, it's not that hard anymore because you own it. I mean, that's the reason I'm saying that. You own that weight. So for me, this makes better sense at my age than trying to continuously try to add weight at every workout. So we're going to take bench press for example. Now, when I first started lifting about a year and a month ago, you know, when I first started, my nervous system wasn't used to it. It's real shaky. You know, I could bench 205. It didn't look pretty, but, you know, I could get some reps out of it. Over time, I go up to 225. I have this bright idea that I'm going to do like the NFL players and try to hit 20 reps with 225. Well, I get there. I'm extremely sore, and my joints are sore. So I keep adding weight till I get up about 265. And I'm feeling really good one day, and I was going to do 10, but it felt good, so I was going to try for 20, and I janked up my shoulder. And it took about 3 months to get that straightened out. So now I'm benching well over 300 pounds, but I'm not doing it in the same way that I was doing it, where I'm just trying to add 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. So the last time that I maxed, which really wasn't a true max, because I was wanting to do 300. When I added up later, it was 305. I was wanting to see if I could bench 305 or 300, because that's kind of a milestone in benching. I did it three times, which means my max was over 300 pounds. Well, I had a choice at that point that I could keep adding weight and try to drive that up, or I could try this thing called step training, where I own the weight. So what I've been doing now for the last month and a half, I work up to 275 on the bench press, which for a lot of you may not be very much, but for me it's pretty good. And I will do three sets of three with 275, and then I'll do three singles with 275. And I've been doing this now for about a month and a half. There's no need for me to have a spotter with 275. I feel really confident with 275. 275 feels about like 225. And I can drive through those with no problem. I could probably do more reps, but what I'm trying to do is own that weight. And I can tell you now that I do. 275 is no big deal. At being 50 years old, I take my time warming up. I make sure everything is warm before I start doing that. I'll build up with weight. I don't count any of those sets. I don't do more than three reps past 135 to warm up to get there. And then I do that. Then I'll do some other chest stuff, some incline, some pin presses, and different things like that. But I've got it in my mind, I want to, by the time I'm 52, bench in the high 300s, which is my goal, at least medium 300s. And I think I'm going to be able to pull that off by this step training. Now, I've been doing this step training with 275 now, the same weight, not going up. But the weight is definitely getting easier because my body is getting used to 275, how it feels, the groove, everything about it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not having to psych myself up to do it. It's just benching, 275. Well, here in about another 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to do another max out. And all I'm trying to do is break my last record, so I'm going to try to do 315. I'm not going to try to do more than 315. But when I do 315, which I have full confidence that I can do, I'm not going to worry about owning 275 anymore. I'm going to own 295 or 290. And for a couple of months, I'm going to work on 290, doing the same thing. I'm going to build up 3 days out of the week to three sets of three and three singles. And then I'm the other week, I'm going to do, you know, this kind of recovery where I do lesser weight but more reps. And then I will max out again another, you know, month and a half, 2 months, when I feel like I totally own that weight, and I will go up and up and up. But see, the difference is, if you go up too quick, you don't know if your ligaments are ready for it, and that's how you get injured. And I don't want injury. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm not doing it to compete, so I'm not in a race with anybody. I just want to have a way that when I get under a bench, that I can have full confidence in what I'm doing. And this seems to be, and this is what old weightlifters used to do. Back before all the, you know, the hype and the and all this new way of lifting weights, they would work with the same weight for a couple of months until they owned it. They would go up in weight, and they would, when you first start going up in weight, it's a struggle, then it gets easier and easier and easier. Your body adapts. That's what you're lifting weights for, is to get adaption in your body. And then all of a sudden you own it. And going up heavier in weight's not that big a deal. Your body's used to it. Your nervous system's used to it. Your ligaments are used to it. Your muscles are way used to it. And you just keep creeping up that way. Now, it's not as fast, but I don't want the injuries, and I doubt you do either. And if you own that weight before you move up to the next level, then you'll be able to start working out in ways that you can actually progress safely, but progress in a way that if you don't lift weights for 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, guess what? You will still own that weight. If you jump up too quick, the losses that you get happen really quick. And since, unless you're competing, why are you concerned about quick losses? You should be concerned about strength. You can do this on the major lifts. You can do this on minor lifts. You can do it on rack pulls. You can do it on whatever you want to do. Now, I wouldn't try to do this on every single lift, because you need to pick 3 or 4 major lifts: squat, deadlift, bench, overhead press, rack pulls. You can do cleans, mace, you know, major body movements. Do that about 20% of the time, and do assistant exercises to make those stronger 80% of the time, whatever your weakness is. See, in the bench press, my weakness has been shoulders and triceps. So when I'm not benching, I really aggressively work my shoulders and bench press, and my numbers keep going up because I'm actually doing something to make me stronger in the bench press. If I just bench press, guys, you're not going to get that much stronger at bench press, because it's just what it is. You have to build up your weaknesses to get stronger at something. So keep that in mind. If it's, I think it's something that if you try, you're going to like. Just for the simple fact that you will have so much confidence in going into the gym. Because it's amazing to me, all of these young whippersnappers that are in there that's been lifting weights for 3 or 4 years, they can't believe an old guy's over there repping out 275 on a consistent basis. The bigger question is, what are they doing to not be repping 275? So if you're not repping 250, 275, 300, and you're a grown man and you've been training for, you know, at least a year, that's what you need to be asking. Is what I'm doing the best for me? Because if you start searching for the answers, believe it or not, you'll start finding them. Y'all have a good week, and I will talk to y'all next time.